Good morning and welcome. Glad to have you with us on this nice brisk day. My name is Pastor Richard Arndt, and I'm substituting today for Pastor Wendt, who's in Atlanta on family business. He should return shortly. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and always ready to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour down on us the abundance of your mercy. Forgive us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and give us those good things for which we are not worthy to ask, except by the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Now they were bringing children, even infants, to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. This is the gospel of the Lord. Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. Our text is from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, where we read, Let him who thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Beloved hearers of God's word, a woman in her 70s asked her physician, What one thing at my age should I do to make sure that I live a long and healthy life? And his response to her was, Don't fall. Now you know that this is not only sage advice, but also it's a lesson that we have to constantly keep in mind, because many of us have experienced what happens when we fall. First of all, it hurts. Usually it seems we fall on something hard, like a sidewalk or tile floor or something like that. But the hurt after the fall is even worse, because when you fall, you can get sprained. You can get skinned hands or knees. You can get bruised hips. You can get even broken bones. And the results of the fall might be that you have to go to the hospital, to the emergency room. And then perhaps you may have to go to a rehabilitation facility. Following that, you may even have to go into a long-term care facility. And who knows what else? For some, falls have even been a precursor to death. And so the words don't fall are very important. Now, if you fall, or if you've fallen and don't want to fall again, talk to your doctor. He may tell you that the cause of your fall might be something completely different than what you think it is. He might, for example, say, well, there's a little difficulty with your inner ear, and that affects your balance. Or he might say, there's been kind of a change in your eyesight, and your depth perception isn't what it once was, and you might trip on something. But whatever the situation is, if you've fallen, talk to your doctor. He has your best interest physically at heart. Now, I want to thank all you younger people here who have listened to me talk about what happens to us old fogies when we fall. I know you're saying, Pastor, I don't have to worry about that yet. I'm young. I'm healthy. Why, falling's a part of my life. I played tackle football. I played baseball and slid into second and third. I played soccer and left my feet for a header or a fancy kick. I roll around on the floor when I romp with my kids. Falling to me isn't bothersome at all. My bones aren't as brittle as yours, so I don't quite have to worry about that. And to you, I say, you're right. Enjoy it while you can. However, there is a danger to you younger folks, just as there is to all of us, that you might fall spiritually. And if you fall spiritually, you are in danger, even more so than if you fall physically. If you fall spiritually, you're in danger of losing your faith. You're in danger of questioning God's love for you. You might ask, how can God let this happen if he really loves me? If you fall spiritually, you might even doubt whether or not you're going to heaven. Somebody asks you, are you going to heaven? You might reply, well, I hope so. I'm trying to. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Or some other idiotic answer, instead of saying, yes, I am going to heaven because of my Lord and Savior. Now, if you have ever had these questions, if you have ever wondered if God loves you, if you have ever doubted whether or not you're finally going to go to heaven, then you should see your pastor. For he is your spiritual physician, and he can lead and guide you into the right paths because he has your soul's health as his primary importance. He looks upon you as one, the Bible says, who must give an account on the day of judgment. So if you fall physically, talk to your doctor. If you fall spiritually, talk to your pastor. Now, today's sermon has the theme, believe it or not, of humility, because we're told that pride goes before a fall. And if you want to learn about humility, you go to the master teacher himself. And you found such a lesson in today's gospel, where our Lord again gives us an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's called the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Or way back in my day, we used to call it the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. But the message is just the same. Jesus says, two men went into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee. Now, the Pharisee was a member of a religious sect that was looked upon very highly because the Pharisees kept every part of the law. They read the law and tried to obey every little bit, what we used to call every jot and tittle. The Pharisee comes to the temple and comes to the front because if you were a Pharisee, you were held in high esteem. And he says, oh God, I thank you that I'm not like other men are. Adulterers, murderers, even like this tax collector. Why, he says, I fast twice a week. Now, fasting wasn't required in the Mosaic law except on the Day of Atonement, but he fasts twice a week, and he gives tithes of all he gets, not just some of what he gets. And so he's almost looking at God and saying, Lord, look at me. You ought to be proud of me. Look at who I am and look at what I do. Our Lord continues. The publican, the tax collector, would not so much as lift up his eyes to look at the holy place, but beat his breast and simply said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He doesn't come with any of his good works. He doesn't make a request to the Lord based on what he has done or what he is. No, the tax collector knows that he's a despised person because, you see, he's collecting money from his own people, the Jewish people, and giving that money to their hated overlords, the Romans. He simply says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then Jesus says, I tell you, this man went out of the temple justified rather than the other. And so you and I, by the grace of God's Holy Spirit today, will attempt to develop or strengthen that Christian characteristic of humility, because God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Well, we see this parable, and the point is we have to apply it then to ourselves, don't we? All right, let's do that. We come, are we a proud people? Yeah, I'd say we probably are. After all, we can say to God, look where we are today. A lot of people are still in bed. A lot of people don't even think about church, but here we are in your house. And look at what we do. We support you. Support your church. When the offering plate is passed, we put our portion in, and we do much more. We help to provide things so that needy children can have what they're missing. We provide food in the food pantry for families who are hungry and come and want to be fed. Why, we even bring shoes. We have special dinners to support such things as a child's hope. We do a lot of extra things, Lord, so you ought to look at us and say, hey, they're okay. In other words, as the Pharisee said, Lord, look on me, recognize me, and then reward me. So we come to church and say, Lord, here we are. We're your people. We're trying to do your will. Look at us. Recognize us. But if I ask you, who would you rather be as far as results are concerned, the Pharisee or the publican, the tax collector? I know you'd say, I want to go out of church justified. I want to go out of church with my sins forgiven and forgotten. I want to go out of church knowing I've got God's love. And so the Pharisee is a man of pride. We want to stress humility. Somebody said once, humility is something for which we should ask God but never thank him for. Humility. Many of us are prideful people, and pride sometimes has unintended results. Maybe some of you are old enough to remember an outfielder of the Pittsburgh Pirates called Ralph Kiner. He was a slugger, later on a sportscaster. And one year, Kiner hit 37 home runs. After the season, he asked his manager for a raise. And Branch Rickey said no. Kiner said, but coach, I hit 37 home runs. I led the National League. His manager says, where'd we finish this year? Kiner said, last. Branch Rickey said, we can finish last without you. Well, that's true. Our own doctor, Pastor Hubert Temme, likes to tell the story of the congregation that gave one of their members a medal. And on the medal it said, the humblest man in our congregation. And then the next Sunday they took it away because he wore it to church. In any case, pride can have unintended consequences. But you and I come to God's house not with pride in ourselves. Now, we can be proud of some things. We can, for example, be proud of our church. When others ask us about our church, we answer, yes, I belong to Faith Lutheran Church, and boy, it's great, and I wish you'd come. We can, if God grants us the ability to do so, we can be proud, as I'm sure all you parents and grandparents know, of our children and grandchildren, whatever accomplishments they might have made. But we don't want to take pride in ourselves, because when we look at our own ego, it tends to take away from the gifts that God has given. In other words, we should say that all that we are and all that we have is from God. Now, dear friends in Christ, I want you to know also, always tell the truth. In other words, don't be so humble that you, for example, if someone should say to you, you have a beautiful singing voice, say, oh, no, no, no. Simply say, thank you. Because whatever gifts we have are gifts from God. And when we, like the Pharisee, come to the temple of God and say, I'm glad I'm not like other people, you and I say, there but for the grace of God go I. And so pride goes before a fall. You and I want to be humble Christians because God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Our Lord says, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. And so we want to follow the words of a hymn that's often sung during Lent. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but lost, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. And so when we say to ourselves, we're a proud people, we are, but our pride is to be in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has given himself that we might, in the end, have everything also. If there's anything to boast about, we boast about our Savior, who is our pride and joy, our glory, and our eternal hope. When we see our Lord Jesus Christ, we have reason to take pride, because he is the supreme example of one who humbled himself. He came down from heaven to earth. He took on the form of a man. He went to the cross and gave himself. He humbled himself even unto death, that you and I might have eternal life. And so look to Jesus, take pride in him, and like the tax collector, leave here today justified. Amen. The peace of God that passes all human understanding, guide and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. And now we confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please rise. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord our God, our hearts praise you and our souls are glad because you are the rock of our salvation. We thank and praise you that you have rescued us from the power of darkness and brought us safely into the kingdom of your dear Son. For by his death we are set free from our sins. By his resurrection we have the sure hope of eternal life with you. Increase the power of the Holy Spirit in us that we might be able to escape from the corruption of this world and lead a life worthy of our Lord and Savior. Increase in us the gift of true humility, that we might praise you with our whole heart, and fill those hearts with constant awareness of your generous love, that we might sing and live to your praise. Arouse your church, O Lord, that it might remember your continued goodness. Cleanse, strengthen, and guide it, that it may indeed be your holy people and the light that shines in this world's darkness. Give us pastors who are true men of God and faithful shepherds of your flock. Look in compassion on the nations of this world. Bless the preaching of the gospel, that it might bear fruit and be spread rapidly throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy, exert your gracious power in our land, that we might obey your voice, correct what is wrong in our society, and be kept safe from all our enemies. Give our leaders wisdom and courage to rule justly, to uphold good and put down the evil, so that we might be free from all strife and conflict. We ask your help, O Lord, on all who have a special burden on their hearts, whether their need is physical, spiritual, or mental. We ask that you would be with them and make them aware of your love and constant care. Particularly, we ask for those whom we already mentioned. Bless those, O Lord, and be with those families who have suffered loss, and let them know that there is a final reward in heaven. You have told us that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Give us, therefore, a sincere concern for truth and godliness, so that we might finally share in your eternal kingdom of light through Jesus Christ our Savior, who has taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We conclude with a closing responsive prayer. Gracious God, giver of every good gift, you are worthy to receive the first fruits of our worship and praise, both in our hearts and of our lives. By the working of your Holy Spirit within us, lead us to be people who faithfully offer to you the first, the most, and the best of all that we have and all that we are, with devotion and with joy. This we ask in the name of Jesus, our loving Savior. Amen. And now receive the benediction of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.